We know the markets have been prepping for this WASDE report of Monday. We're going to talk about that today. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Don Rose joins us today with U.S. Commodities. And Don, let's take a look at this WASDE report because there's a lot of final numbers that always take place during this January report.
Well, you know, I think if you back up, Susan, and look at last year, this was really the report that we took the corn yield down close to 3 bushels an acre when the trade wasn't looking for it. And that was the report that propelled us to the upside. And eventually March corn went to 521.5. Not saying that's going to happen today, but we are at 446. So I think it's fair to say that this report is probably the most important report of the first quarter until you get to the end of the quarter where we have the March planning intentions report. So all focus, I think, is going to be on the yield on corn. And I think the other focus on soybeans is going to be with the export pace slow to very slow. Will we take the exports down on soybeans and ending stocks up? So this is a market moving report. So I think you just have to prepare for it either way, Susan.
Well, and you talk about that. I mean, are we going to see that typical? I mean, obviously the algos are going to really jump in on this report. As we watch the numbers, what type of prep should we have? I mean, obviously not knowing what the numbers are at this point.
Well, I think when you look at it from a producer standpoint, you know, if you're afraid that you could have a negative report, change your ownership. You know, you can sell cash and then re-own it with calls. You know, we see clients doing that. Same thing on soybeans. If you're afraid that it's going to be a negative report, do you protect yourself to the downside with any kind of strategies? We see clients doing that also. So I think when you look at it, it is kind of strange that you're seeing the funds. They know the fundamentals out here aren't that great, really, when you got South America crop coming at you. But it looks like going into this report, the funds are going to be somewhere around 80,000 contracts long in soybeans, about 100,000 contracts short in wheat, and maybe about 10,000 long in corn. So the bet is higher beans, lower wheat, and corn in between is the way the fund position is. But, you know, most definitely, you know, it's one of those markets that the producer is hoping for a bullish report, as I think there's a lot of corn that is pent up waiting to sell, Susan.
Well, let's take a look at what is happening in South America at this point. You get some firsthand knowledge right now. What are you seeing and hearing when it comes to crop development, first with corn?
Well, you know, I think when you look at the corn, you know, of course, the big crop, the exportable, the first corn crop, you know, basically was a pretty good crop here so far. I think when you look at the second corn crop, that's the one that is the exportable crop. The first corn crop is the one, it's about, let's just say it's 25% of the total production. The first corn crop was fine. The second corn crop, the exportable one, the first one is the domestic use. But the beans come off. As beans come off, then you replant the corn. So they do get two crops in a lot of areas off of one land, which is different than the U.S. But the soybean crop, jumping over to that, we don't know on the corn yet. We have Brazil, for the most part, very long country, north to south. It's a favorable rain and sunshine so far. We're pretty far along in the growing season. We got about 1% of the soybeans, maybe closer to 2 now, harvested up north in Mato Grosso and Paraná in between. So it's the south that could be a little more at risk, southern Brazil. But when you keep pushing down into the south, Argentina is next up to bat. Of course, they plant later because they're further south. And their soybean crop and corn crop looks fine so far in the north, but it's the south and central, Susan, that I think you continue to have this pestery dry condition that I think that's on the watch list. So I'd say if there's a watch list, it's on the central and southern Argentina. If there's looks like there's a large crop coming in soybeans, it is. It's coming out of Brazil. That's because harvest has started and it's really going to ramp up as we get into February.
Well, you know, there's still a lot of growing time. If you get some timely rains in those extremely dry regions, do you see or is a thought from those growers that we could see a turnaround for this crop?
Yeah, you know, I think in the central and south it's early yet, and we know the soybeans are kind of what we call the miracle crop. They can hold on and then get some timely rain. So too early there. But just reminding you that Brazil, it looks like they're on a path to, let's just call it somewhere around the 6.5, 6.6 billion bushel bean crop. Argentina, let's just call it somewhere around a 1.8, maybe 1.9 billion crop. Well, the U.S. is 4.3. So you can see that it's just the big heavyweight is up to bat here with a big crop that it looks like it's going to be hard to threaten at this late in the season out of Brazil, Susan.
You know, there was a lot of hype this whole week about Friday we'd be hearing from the Supreme Court in regards to the tariff ruling. Now, as we all know, that got postponed this morning. So do we see some anticipation ramping back up again as we find out when they might make that decision?
Well, you know, I think it looks like it's going to be a double barrel coming at us here on Monday. Odds favor that we get some kind of ruling on the tariffs. The Trump administration on Monday, same day as the crop report, 11 o'clock Central Time. The Trump administration seems very confident that their Supreme Court's going to rule in their favor or some kind of maybe a mixed type of thing that really doesn't hurt the tariffs. And the administration says, well, they've got a backup plan if that doesn't work, if they rule against them. So they expect the tariffs to continue going forward. Of course, it'd be a big deal, Susan, if none of those plans work. So we'll keep our fingers crossed that the tariff money, we're going to keep it for right now. And then we will keep going forward and keep this world balance of trade in our favor.
All right, let's switch gears, Don, and look at the livestock side of it. And obviously the cattle just kind of keep to be humming along and demand-wise continues to grow. But you were doing some comparisons, too, when you looked at 14-15.
Yeah, you know, let's just look at that on the cattle. Last time we had our big cattle cycle was 2014. We topped out in October. This year, you know, the follow-up cattle cycle, record highs, and we topped out in October. So if you push forward, so far, we've had a retracement, 72-75% of the big down, let's just say on the February $46 break, roughly a 72-73% retracement. So we retraced a lot. You know, we expect supplies in 26 to be tight, very much the same as 2015 coming out of 14. Supplies were tight. But what happened in 14 to 15, it was one of these, we retraced like we did, but always it couldn't stick it and make new highs. So it was like one step up and two down. So that's what you have to be careful of is the demand in 2015 slowed down. The supply stayed tight. Ultimately, we dropped 30% of the value from 14 to 15. So if you believe that, August, has some downside pressure closer to 180. So we'll see if that happens. The supplies are going to be tight, so it's going to be the consumer that's really going to vote, Susan. And that's an, we're not sure on that yet here. We'll see how the economy goes. Certainly, fuel energy prices are coming down, which is helping the consumer purchasing.
Yeah, well, you talk energy prices, immediately it makes me think of oil and things that are happening right now in Venezuela. And you brought up an interesting point. When we look at the grains we have here in the United States and the issues that they have in Venezuela.
Yeah, I think when you look at it, it really hasn't come on the radar here from the market standpoint or any chat or anybody really talking about it. But, you know, it makes sense to me, to us, that Venezuela's on the radar. They've got a lot of people that are in poverty, that are in need of food assistance and food insecurity, if you will. We've got excess supplies of grain, wheat and such. It makes sense. They've got oil that is untapped, could expand. It makes sense to us at some point in time, the Trump administration think that they're probably look at some point in time, whether it happens or not, is exchanging our grain, giving them grain in exchange for oil on some kind of a barter system. Would not surprise us one bit, Susan. Hasn't come on the radar by anybody we've seen here yet out of the administration or any of the traders talking about it. But we'll see if something develops going forward.
All right, sounds good. Thanks so much, Don. Don Rose joining us today with U.S. Commodities. A quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that is the Friday Market Wrap-Up on the American Ag Network.